Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, and I will bless his holy name. Praise the Lord. Thank you once again, my listeners. This is Ola Starling with Ola Starling's Ministry. And I thank God, praise God, for you today. I thank God for allowing me to be able to get up this morning with use and activities of my limbs. And most of all, praise God, I am closed in my right mind, the mind to seek the truth and the living God. I pray, praise God, that you and your family is well and that you are constantly pressing to be even better and be even, praise God, connected more in the spirit realm with the living God. People of the world, we're in perilous times. We're in times that has never seen before. And as you know, praise God, the devil is constantly adding more and more and more destruction, more, praise God, confusion, more fear to this world. And as you may know, praise God, that Jesus is coming back. And one thing I want you to hear me and hear me good. He's coming back and he's going to come back and guess what? He's going to show the world that he owns this world and that he is the owner of this world. He has the title deed. He has the title deed. We look at everything that's going on around us. Before us. Fear not. Fear not. God has not given us, the believers, a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind, of love and understanding. When you know that you are in God, and God in you, chaos can be all around you, but you have the peace of God. He promised us that he would give us peace that the world cannot hear. And Father, I'm thanking you today because you are not a lying God. But Father, as we look around, praise the Lord, you see that people are trying to find everything and every way and substance of things trying to find peace and get understanding. But all of this, you will find it in God's word. The word is true all by itself. It don't need no help from anybody. The word of God is true. And today I have a question, and I want to ask you this. The topic today I would like to talk about is flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the wrath to come. Coming. It's going to be worse than what you see now. But will you be able to escape the wrath of God? Hallelujah. Huh. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And the question was asked in Matthew, praise God, 3:7. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I will. I will warn you to flee from the wrath to come. The wrath is coming. Whether you're ready or not, it's going to come. But will you be able to stand in the day of God's terrible wrath? Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. And the word of God says, who has fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us? In Hebrews 6:18. Here we will first consider, praise God, the question of John the Baptist. Hallelujah. John the Baptist said, when we saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, you brooders of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I have no doubt, praise God, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were very much surprised to hear John addressing them in that way. For men who wish to win disciples ordinarily adopted a milder language than that. But John the Baptist was on a mission for God. And he was going to do it with his uttermost spirit and in the right way. He was not trying to please people. He was not trying to preach a 10-minute miracle. God going to bless you. God is going to set you up. Don't listen to me, listeners. Ministers, it's time to preach the wrath of God. We're leaving it out. People are preaching everything but the wrath of God. God is coming with his wrath. He's coming with wrath. Not blessing. He's coming because the world is out of commission. It's out of control. Everybody still want to be blessed, and the wrath of God is coming. Hallelujah. It's time, praise God, to line up with the word of God. And he said, praise God, they were surprised to hear him speaking to them in that way. But you see, John the Baptist said that those, and he chose a more attractive theme, for they feared that they would drive their hearers. See, we don't want to preach the word of God because we don't want people to dislike us. Ask me, do I care? I don't. You don't have a heaven to put me in or a hell to carry me to. What we're saying here tonight, line up with the word of God, that you may spend eternal life with the Savior, that you will may have a praise, praise God, to spend eternity, because if you are caught up in God's wrath, you will lift your eyes up in hell. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Separate your evil deeds and do what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And John said, praise God, And John the Baptist said it, praise God. There is no much danger of that noonday. For the current notice aboard, now is the gospel ministers can sew with silk without using a sharp needle. And that instead of piercing men with the sword of the Spirit, they should show them only the hit of it. No, let them see the bright diamond on the scapegoat. But nevertheless, feel the sharpness of the two-edged sword. Speak the truth. Tell them the wrath of God is coming. And he will not spare the unrighteous or the evil. He will not spare. They should always confident, consult, and cheer, but never allude to the terror of God. This appears to be the common interpretation of our commission, but John the Baptist was quite another mind. He wasn't thinking like the mind of man. He was thinking like the mind of God. Hallelujah. A Pharisee came to him, praise God. A very religious man who, praise God, who had observed all the details in the external worship, and he was a very careful even about his traveling. He was like trapped. Like going through doing things that he knew that was not of God, but he was doing it because why? The people watched him because he was a very well-known man, very dressed, very rich, but very religious. A firm believer in the resurrection and in the angel and the spirit and in all that was written, praise God, in the book of the law. But and also in all the tradition of his fathers, a man who was overdone and extremely religious, a ritualist of the first order, who felt that, praise God, if there was a righteous man in the world, he certainly was that one. Self-centered, self-righteous. He was certainly that man if it was a rich or right, the righteous man in the world. He was that man. He must have been, praise God, he must have been greatly taken back when John talked to him about the wrath of God and plainly told him that the wrath was as much for him as it was for other people. No, you can't tell me that because I'm well known. I mean, I go to church and I do this, but you don't know God. You do not have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We're in a time today, people, anything goes. And people are looking for ways out, ways to come out, ways to get out, ways to be delivered. The only way is God's way. You must come to the Father. You must be a born-again believer so God can deliver you from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. The wrath is coming, people. We walk around, we don't think about it, we don't try to think about it, we don't preach the word of God, we don't hear the want to hear the word of God, we don't have no departure with the word of God, but there's a terrible day coming. The wrath of God is set. And you better know this, whatever he has set in time, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. He must have been overtaken because John the Baptist speaking to him in that form. Oh, my goodness. Because he was the one with the fine garments. He was so proud. Would not screen him from the anger of God against injustice and transgression. But just like any common sinner, he need to know, praise God, to flee from the wrath to come. The wrath is coming. The wrath is coming. And it's not going to be anything pretty. God is not going to try to make it easy. He's going to give it all he got. Hallelujah. And the Sadducees was equally taken back by John's sterile language. He too was a religious man. But he combined it with religion greater thoughtfulness than the Pharisees did. At least, praise God. So he said, he did not believe in traditions. He was too large-minded to care about the little details and the extreme of religion. Religion is not going to get you into heaven. God said he don't need no more religion, religious people. He don't need no more good people. Hallelujah. He needs believers. He's coming back for believers, not religious. Not good people. God is not even coming back for Christians. Everybody can be a Christian, but God is coming back for a believer. He that believes that he was dead and was raised from the dead, that's what he's looking for. Not the Christian, but believers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Then he said he observed the laws of Moses. This is what the Sadducees said. But he cling rather to the letter of it than to the spirit. And he did not accept all that was revealed, for he denied, hallelujah, that there was such a thing as an angel or spirit. He was a broad churchman, a man of liberty ideas, full of a breath. Of the age, he professed to be a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Yet, at the same time, the yoke of religion rested very highly upon his shoulders. And still, praise God, he was not irritated about it. Yet there is John the Baptist talking to him, as well as to the Pharisees, about the wrath to come. People, the wrath of God is coming. It's going to be a terrible day, a terrible day. It's coming upon this nation, upon this world, hallelujah. You've seen nothing yet. God is not going to spare any that is not his, hallelujah. This is the time for you to get yourself together, to seek salvation, your family, your children, your husband, your wives. Hallelujah. This is the time to seek the face of God. Hallelujah. But they both, praise God, like to have a little argument with John. But he talked to them about fleeing from the wrath to come. It's time out for sugarcoating the gospel. Stop preaching to the people. The philosophy gospel talked to them about God's returning. But he's coming back. He's coming back with wrath. His wrath is coming with him. I want to be blessed. God bless me. God bless me. Bless me, Lord, with eternal life. My family, my children. But he talked to them about fleeing from the wrath to come. They both have been with him some theology questions that, you know, some people want to know, well, what color is God? And who? Listen to me carefully. What he has no color, what he colorless or whatever. He's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him and spirit and in truth. The Lord, hallelujah, is going to return, hallelujah, and it won't be long. It will not be long, hallelujah. He's coming. He's warning. He's constantly sending out his warnings. Send out the cry, cry loud, and spare not. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. God will not tolerate no kind of any sort of sin. And to bring up the difference between the two sets, to hear how John would handle them, and to let them see what he was, what he would do, and what he would lean on. But he did not waste a moment. His time out for wasting precious moments, trying to tell people, God getting ready to bless you. God, you need to be saved. Hallelujah. Seek the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Seek the life for God. Hallelujah. His time out, praise God. Time out, praise God. For trying to be religious, acting religious, looking religious, talking religious. Time to be real with God. Hallelujah. God knows. He knows. He knows who you are and what you are. Hallelujah. We see, praise God, the world is in chaos. Anytime, praise God, you can sit and see, praise God, individuals taking over the Capitol. Oh, my God. It's more dangerous things to come. You need to know for a fact that your life is hidden in God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You need to know. And John handled them and to let them see which he would lean. But he did not waste a moment over the matter in dispute between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The one point he had to deal with was the one of which he would have spoken to a congregation of a publican or a heartless. And he spoke, praise God, of this in just the same way of these normally religious people. They must flee from the wrath to come. Everybody is not saved. Don't know God. I don't care if it's your wife, your mama, your daddy, your sister. You must flee from the wrath to come. God will not spare any. Hallelujah. He's not going to spare any. He's not going to spare any. As sure as they were living men, the wrath would come upon them, and they would perish under it. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. You must know, praise God, eternal life is only in Jesus. You can only find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You better start, praise God, changing your ways. It's time to seek the Lord while he yet can be found. But there will come a day that you will not be able to find him. He's not coming back, praise God, to correct. He's coming back to set in order. The world is in chaos, hallelujah. Destruction. Men doing what they want to do. They want to take over, but you can't have what is not yours. This is not your world. He's coming back with the title deed, hallelujah, to this earth. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. God, you an awesome God. Doesn't matter, praise God, what they say or do, you still is God. You was the one, praise God, that put it together. You was the one, praise God, that stood it, praise God, and named it, placed it, created it. Yes, Lord. The devil is a liar. You got to flee the wrath to come, the wrath of God. Hallelujah. So John, praise God, kept to his one topic. He laid it at the axe of the root of the tree. He was warned. He warned those hypocrites, professors, professionals, the liars, the thieves, the murderers, the heartless, to flee from the wrath to come. and he spoke of it in just the same way to these normally religious people. He was not taken down. He was not moved by the way you looked at him, what you said about him. He has let you know that God wrath is coming. It's coming, people. It's on its way. Hallelujah. Yeah, God. Yes, Lord. It's on its way. It's coming. And he said, praise God. He said they would perish in the common destruction, which will overwhelm all ungodly men and women. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what color you are, how educated you are, where you live, where you come from, what you got, what you look like. Ungodly will be destroyed. Glory to God. This was not the style, praise God, of preaching that John here is like, but John did not think of that, praise God. He did not come, praise God, to speak out plainly what was the best for men eternally anymore at entry. You hear people saying, but you know, you got to be careful. I won't be careful about nothing. If God said you're going to hell, then hell you're going. It's not me. I'm not sugarcoating it. You have to serve God to get to where he wants you to be. You must be a child of God. The Bible said that he that has not the Spirit of God is none of his. You are a bastard and not a son. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Thank you. He said, praise God. John, praise God, did not think of what, praise God, how people thought or what they wanted to hear. John was obeying the voice of God. Hallelujah. He did not come, praise God, to speak sweet and soft things to them. God was tired. He is tired. Yes, he's love, but he's wrath. He's been sending the word, praise God, since the world began. And it got even worse. The wrath of God is coming. Coming. Hallelujah. Yes, it's coming. And me as eternally more interested, he spoke, therefore, first concerning the wrath of God, and next he spoke concerning the ways of escape from the wrath. He said, first of all, the tremendous peril, the wrath to come. The second thing he spoke was the escape. Flee, flee. He's telling you, get away from it. Stop to do and get it right. But many will not. Hallelujah. They love sin. My dear friend, let us think, praise God, of the tremendous peril which overtake all men who do not escape from it. People of the world, you can continue to keep doing what you do. You will not escape the wrath of God. Nowhere to hide. Nowhere to escape. Hallelujah. The tremendous prayer, praise God, is the wrath of God. There is a wrath of God which aids on every ungodly man, woman, child, person, whether men like the truth or not. It is written. It is written. God is angry with the wicked every day. And also, praise God, he who believes not is condemned already because he has not believed. Ah, Jesus. He has not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. You're already damned. You don't believe, you already damned. I mean, you have sealed your fate because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And yet again, he said, he who believes not the Son shall not see life. Ho, 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 Jesus. Let me say that again. He who believes not the Son shall not see life. You damned forever. It's time to do a self-check. It's time to go do a self-examination. For the Bible says, the day you hear my voice, his voice is his word. Today you hear my voice. Do not harden your heart, for it is the day of salvation, and it has come to your house. Don't harden your heart against God, against the word. Maybe the word is coming through somebody you don't even know and you don't like. Forget that. If it's the word, you need to believe it. No special somebody. God used whom he will or may. Well, I'm not going to, I don't like her. That's your problem. My job is to tell it in season, out of season, when you want to hear it, when you don't want to hear it. And nobody wants to talk about the wrath of God because it is destruction, chaos. Hey, man has never seen the destruction like God's destruction and like God's wrath. Hallelujah. Yeah, God. Listen. And yet again, he who believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. But the wrath is in abundance for a time. And consequently, men do not think much either, praise God, of the wrath that now is or of the wrath to come. You don't want to think about that. You don't want to think about death, but it comes. The wrath of God is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Listen. The wrath of God, hey, God, is already on its way. You may be on your job. You may be in the bed. You may be walking. You may be driving. You may be sleeping. But the wrath of God is coming, people. It is coming. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Believe me, it's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. And then he said, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It will not, however, always be abeyance. The loot of the great deep will be pulled up, and the awful terror will come leaping forth and will utterly overwhelm all who are exposed to their fury. You don't want to get caught up in the wrath of God. You don't want to get caught up in the wrath of God. Hallelujah. This wrath to come will in part fall upon men at death, but more fully at the day of judgment. And it will continue to flow over them forever and ever. This wrath to come is that of which John spoke and of which he will now think for a while. And the next, praise God, John's first remark is that the wrath to come is absolutely just and necessary. Many, praise God, why would a good God like that destroy? Baby, listen to me. God ain't doing it. Sin is destroying it, not God. But he won't tolerate sin. Sin has done his damage. The devil has hoodwinked this whole nation. If there's a just God, listen, then he cannot let sin go unpunished. He is a real God. This is no play God. This is no Buddha, no Krishna, no Fonsue. This is God, real God, and the righteous judge of all the earth. Did you hear that? He must have an utterance. And abhorrence of all evil. He must get rid of it. He cannot possibly. He cannot be possibly that he should think the same of the honest and the dishonest. They're not the same. Of the chaste and the unchaste, not the same. Of the drunk, the sober and the drunken, not the same. Truthful and lying is not the same. Of the gracious and the destitute. Such is God. that we be one whom men might rightly despise, but the true God, if we understand aright that he is, must hold all sin in destitution. God is not going to let sin slip by. Not one iota of sin will go past him. But the true God, if we understand right what he is, must hold all the destitution. All evil must be utterly aborted to his pure and holy soul. It is not only because he can do it, but because he must do it. That he will one of these days, let loose the fury of his wrath. Sin will not go unpunished. Sin will not go unpunished, hear me. As it is necessary in the very nature of things that there should be certain laws to govern this creation. So it is equally necessary, hey God, in the very nature of things, that sin should be punished and that every transgression and disobedience should receive a just recompense. This is the inevitable consequences of sin. Do you not know whatever you do, there is a consequence for it or behind it? Yes. There's a consequence to sin. There is nothing. All right. There's nothing, praise God, that is so good about such a result. It is fixed in the very nature of things. That, praise God, for every idle word. Hallelujah. Listen to me, people. Listen at God. Listen to the word of God. For every idle word, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account in it in the day of judgment. We get to check ourselves. It's time for self-check. Idle words. And for every sinful action, they must appear before the bar of God. You're not getting away with anything. Don't matter who you are, what you got, who you think you are. You're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Do not think, praise God, when we speak about the wrath of God, to God, to you as a triumph, a tyrant. No, no, we do not tell you. This is the only nature of things. That just as if you take poison, it will kill you. Or if you indulge in drunkenness, or if you take almost any form of disease, it will bring pain and mischievous to you. So just, hallelujah. So just sin, hallelujah, must bring upon you the wrath of God. It cannot be otherwise. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one tittle drop of God's law can pass away until all be fulfilled. And one part of the law required, praise God, that he should punish all transgression, iniquities, and sin, people. And if now, for a time, the full manifestation of that anger is delayed. My God, I beseech you, brethren, men and brethren, do not, therefore, trickle and pray with me. The longer God's arm is uplifted, the more terrible will be the blow when at last he strikes. To sin against the patience and long suffering of our mighty God. You know God is a long suffering God. He suffers long, hallelujah. Sin with a vengeance. You do, as it were, praise God. Definitely put your finger into the very eyes of God. And praise God when you know that he sees you. Sin. And yet you go on sinning. Because he does not immediately take a vengeance upon you for all your evil works. Hey, God, it is a great love and patience that he restrains his wrath. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, God, for he is low and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. But as a tyrant, he to me, he dams up for a while and gather force and strength. And every hour in which he is kept back, he gets to be more, more irresistible to be with the wrath to come. And when, praise God, at last he doesn't come, he doesn't come upon you. If it is what he has waited for some of you, for severe of 60 to 50, and even, praise God, from your 20s, God was watching over you when you was in your sin. Hey, God, hallelujah. It will come as an overflow, the overflowing flower, like a flood. It's going to overwhelm you like a flood. When that let lift, it bursts the bowels, which is as present, hold it back. It hold it back, praise God. But it triple not therefore with that patience of God, which may be blessed to your salvation. God is crying out for you to receive salvation. He said it, praise God, if you can believe in your heart, believe that Jesus Christ died and he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. He didn't say, I think, praise God. He said, you shall be saved. Yeah, what a mercy for God. Nor in this wrath to come, in it elect you because it is delayed, because sentence is not at once given against any evil work, therefore men say, we need not trouble ourselves. Oh, my God. How does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, he winks at our inquiries. He counts them as mere wrong, mere misunderstanding. No harm will come to us because of them. But, sirs and missers and ma'ams, if you are prepared to cast away the bite, I can understand a little that you should talk like that. But if you really believe, praise God, the descriptions of the words of God, you know what the consequences of your sins must be. Concerning the wicked, it is written, if he turn not, he will wept his sword. God will take your sword out. He will beat you. He has bent his bows and made it ready. He has also prepared for him the instrument of death. Even if you are so foolish as to cast away your Bibles, yet unless you think yourselves to be mere dogs and cattle that should rot back into the ground from which you come. And be done with forever. You must expect that there will be another state of existence in which the right shall be vindicated and the wrong shall be punished. There's a song, praise God, my grandmother used to sing, God is getting us ready for that great day. And who shall be able to stand? God is getting us ready for that great day. God is getting us ready for that great day. God is getting us ready for that great day. Who will be able to stand? Will you be able to stand in that great wrath to come, the day of the Lord? Coming. It seemed to lie upon the very conscience of man in the unwritten code of institution knowledge, of the knowledge handed down from the Father to the Son, that there must come a time in which God will surely bring every secret thing to light and visit with judgment the proud and the high-handed oppressors and vindicate the rights of his own throne. It must be so. And if the wrath tarry for a while, it is none than the less sure. He said, I feel quite staggered as I try to speak to this wrath to come, because it does come. It doesn't come. It can be something very terrible, because divinity enters into the essential of it. The wrath of man is sometimes very terrible. But what must the wrath of God be? What must it be? Oh, what a question. What must it be, sir? John said, I have tried these many years, humbly, yet honestly, to preach the love of God. And I have never yet reached the height of that great argument, for his love is boundless. But are all his attributes. And if you consider any one of them, you must say it is high. I cannot attain unto it. But the just indignation of God against sin must be commensurated with its absolute purity. That man who just wrestle with right and wrong and think that these are mere attribute terms has no indignation when he sees wrong done. But God, who is indefinitely pure and holy, cannot. It is not possible, praise God, that he should look upon sin without and saw them abhorrence, that he get rid of it. Oh, say he, by the mouth of his servant Jeremiah, do not this abominable, abominable thing which I hate. He's not indifferent to sin, but he hates it, and he pleads with men not to do it, because it is so abominable and so hateful in his sight. What will the wrath to come be? What would it be? That's the question. If God but touches a man, as it were, with only his little finger, the strongest must at once fail and fall. The mightiest can scarcely open his eyes. And the seal of death is speedily imprinted on his bow. But what will it be when the hand of God shall begin to plague the ungodly, when he shall pour out all the vials of his wrath, my God, upon them, and crush them with his, what will there be their portion when he says, ha, I will cease me of any adversaries and avenge him, and avenge me of my enemies. Think too, that must be the meaning of the soulless passage. Let me repeat it to you slowly and subtly. Now consider this, you who forgot God, least I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver you. That I faithfully tried to set before you the wrath to come. Now listen to me for the few minutes, and let me have your impartible judgment while I still further speak upon the important thing. What do you think are the more honest men? Those who tell you plainly what the scriptures are saying concerning the wrath of God, or those who smooth it over or deny it altogether? I will not judge them, because the judge are quick in the dead, lest those appear who dare to be apologetic for sins and to diminish the dread thought of God's anger against it. The word of today. Let me ask you, it has the greatest mortal effect upon yourself. Will you be likely to go and sin after you have heard the word of God anger against it? Or will you morally readily commit iniquities when you have it slaved over and you are told that it is a little thing? Hey, so I say to you, this is the question in dispute. Whether the punishment of sin is eternal or not, Well, he said we can have any theological discussion just now, but turning to my opponent, he said, don't you go back on the deck. Don't go back up there. You're telling people about what God is saying. He said, don't give what's holy to the dogs. Don't cast my pearls before the swine. Simply, they don't believe there is a God, or there is no wrath coming. But let me put to you, praise God, what the word says. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should lie. He can't lie. There is no lies in his tongue. Well, let's see what the word of God says in the book of Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophet in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David. Romans 1. And who thought the scriptures of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him he received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience and come from faith for his name's sake. And you also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus Christ. And to all the Romans who love by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul longing to visit Rome. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now, at least by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. Paul was trying to tell the people what the Lord wanted them to know. God is never disliking man. He dislikes sin. God don't tolerate sin of no kind. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. That is, that you and I may what? Much mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren and sister. I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. Praise God, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I had among the other Gentiles. I'm obligated, says Paul, both to the Greek and non-Greek, both to the wise and the foolish. Is that why I am not eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, not a Christian, but who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. For the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. It is impossible to please God without faith, people. Without faith, you cannot please God. God's wrath against sinful humanity. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness, the wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible quality, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Praise the Lord. Although they knew God, listen at this now, because people know God, but they won't glorify God. They know him, but they refuse to glorify him. Although they knew God, they neither glorify him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Sin. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And it came the glory of the immortal God, for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles. You know that. Therefore, God gave them over to a sinful desire of their hearts to sexual impurity, from the degrading of their bodies with others, one another. They came the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served creature things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised, amen, because this God gave them over to a shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. Men and women sleeping together, saying they was born this way. The devil is a liar. God gave them up to a reprobated mind. They began to lust after each other. He said women exchanged the nature sexual relationship for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also aborted natural relations with women and were inflamed with the lust of another man. Men committed shameful acts like other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. God is not going to let that slide. Furthermore, just as they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a deprived mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, envy, murder, and strife, deceit, malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways to do evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding. No fidelity of love. No love. No mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice it. We're in a world today, this is what's going on. They have already put it out there. Men and women, y'all sleep together because y'all love each other. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. The wrath of God to come. God's wrath is going to put it all in order. God said, I gave them up to a reprobated mind. And they start lusting after each other as men lust after men and women after women. So now, praise God, they have put it in that it's law. They can marry who they want to marry, but the wrath of God is coming. It's coming. I don't want to be in his wrath. Hallelujah. It's time to seek the face of God while he yet can be found. There's coming a day that you will not be able to find him. The word of God tells me in the book of Amos, there's coming a famine in the land. But the famine is going to be for the word of God. God is going to take his word out of here. You're going to desire to hear the word, but it won't be no word for you to hear. It is now your time to seek God now. Seek him while you can find him. Do not let it be said. Too late. Too late shall be the cry. The wrath of God is coming. Like it or not, is coming. You can escape it by coming to the Lord. Repenting. Sinner man, prostitute, liar, murderer, all of you have a chance to come to God while you can. But if you do not, you will suffer the wrath of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. This is Pastor Starnes. Then have a great day. And know one thing. God tolerates no sin of any kind from anyone. Does not matter who you are. If you are caught in the wrath of God, you are doomed. Hallelujah. You are doomed. You are being warned to flee from the wrath. Be blessed.